Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. Friends, allow me now to introduce you to James Flaming Eagle Mooney, elder and Seminole medicine man. How are you, my brother?
Oh, and guess what? I'm not sure how well the computer is working because I didn't hear the beep. There we go. There was a little lag time. I want to apologize. It blew out or winging it again this week. And this is Lockwood Radio. And we want to invite, matter of fact, I'm sending out invitations to everybody in the different Lockwood groups to join us for free. Chuck D did want to join us tonight. And I called him a little early, left a message, and he's a new member from Tucson. And anyway, yeah, if you're in the neighborhood, why don't you give us a call at 347-996-3318. And I'm going to spin a little music here, see if we can get our guests on board. I've got some clips from Craig Kai's album. Craig was old friend of James and wrote some music about the experiences he had with James. Here's the first clip.
The sacred fire's burning deep within my soul. Light of the eagle guides my way. I hope.
Hey, sorry for the lag time. This is computer sack and slow. Yeah, we're gonna wait a few minutes and see if our guest Chuck D gets the message. He could be busy. Who knows? We're gonna play some more Craig Kai here for a little while.
All life is connected. Every single living thing. We're all part of the same. Flesh and blood. Our home. Our home.
I just want to welcome everybody out this evening to Auckland Radio. This is Will Blue Water. And, if you're the kind of person who thinks entheogens have their place in the world, that you can prayerfully use these things that are supplied to us by the Creator, then this is the place for you. This is a place to connect with the Creator. We're still waiting to see if we can get Chuck D on. If not, we'll come up with some prizes for you. Here's some more Craig Cox.
The sacrifice of nations, O Father, hear our cries. May the songs of our brothers fill the air. Our sacred ancestors look down from the sky with the healing touch of heaven in their eyes.
It's Blue Water. Well, you know what? I think what I'm going to try to do is we'll give the guest one more call. Who knows what happened about. Otherwise, I could maybe get our friend Mark on the line or listen. And, you know, if you're just joining us, I'd like to give you a free gift, the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Library. And a lot of people really liked it. It's going to 4 ebooks and a lot of that information. It's really huge. Give us a call at 347-996-3318. That's 347-996-3318. And let's see if we can get our guest on the line here.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 269-365-3153 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yes, I'm not sure if anybody taking care of that. But, let's see if we can get Mark on the line. I just had his You know, I just figured out how to produce a show. You need to have two computers. One to watch for callers and the other one to look up file names on. And, but this is Aquava, Native American Church Radio. I'm Will Blue Otter. I'm your co-host, James Flame Eagle. He's your host. He's doing a lot of traveling. Some really interesting things going on. The church is growing very quickly. And you may have noticed a little bit of lag time in getting the ID cards out, but James and Linda pretty busy. But they're going to get those cards out to you just as soon as possible. Can. Let's see if we can get a hold of Mark Orcharding. And, he has an email. He could be home. He might not be home. Always a fasting person at home.
Hi, we're not here. Please leave your name, phone number, and a message, and we'll return your call.
Hey, Mark, it's Otter. Hey, listen, we're on the air tonight, 7 to 9 Central. And, yeah, our guest was unavoidably detained, and love to talk with you. If you feel like calling in, we're at 347-996-3318. And we'll see if we can get a call in here in the first half hour. We're offering a free Prophecy Keepers library to anybody that calls in. You can ask any question you'd like to about Aquava Native American Church. And I'd also like to share with you the greetings of Chief Charles Jotloki Rogers of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. He is the new leader of a newly minted Aquava Native American Church, a branch called the Aquava Native American Church of the Cherokee Church of the One God Yahweh. It's, you know, it's whatever your church name was, and then you tack on Aquava Native American Church. And, that prefix shows that we are a bona fide Native American church. We are the church that has three unanimous court decisions from the Supreme Court on down. That no one may dictate to us what we as Native American people or people that are recognized by us as part of the church author reservations. If it's plant-based, kind of grown in the ground, it's probably a sacrament if it has any psychogenic effects. Anyway, give us a call, 347-996-3318. And while we're waiting for a call, we've got some cool music here. Excuse the sinus trouble, but I have a little bit of allergies. And I'm sniffing all the time. And, I'm looking for something. How about, here's just a short clip from Bobby Robertson's AOQ. Just want to say that prayers that go out for members of the church tonight that could be ill, that could be in an unfortunate situation with the court system. Whatever it is, if you're having problems tonight and you would like to come on the air at 347-996-2318, you're welcome to. And but I just want to say we owe a lot to our ancestors. You know, being a Native person really started being cool all probably about 1990. But there's a lot of stories out there. But sometimes you hear part of the story, you don't hear the full story. But Native American history is full of tragedies, full of hope, and we're looking toward the future. But I'd like to everybody to think about Sitting Bull and what he went through here. Here's the Sitting Bull Memorial Song.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Hey, 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 hey
Blue Otter, and this is the Bottle of a Native Church. We are live tonight. If you'd like to call us, we're at 347-996-3318. If you ever wondered who we are, who Apocalypse is, you know, it's not as important as what we're doing, it's why we're doing this. There's been a concerted effort over the last two centuries to destroy the Native American culture. It's sad enough that the lifestyle of living in harmony with Mother Earth, the Father Sky, by living a nomadic existence in order to talk this world animals, but harvest them with respect and moderation has been taken away. The blessings of the American Native healing tradition have been suppressed and taken to the verge of extinction. Now, this tradition uses plants and herbs along with ceremonies to heal body, mind, and spirit and assist with the translations of life that we all experience, as opposed to chemicals that create dependency and technical approaches that they and disrespect of very being. Now, I should have said transitions. You know, if you were asked, Rabbi, with Rabbi, in their faith, it's all about them. And, when I hung around with these folks in several different places, you know, you really got the message that they care. You also get the message of, hey, we love you hanging around. Just, you know, please don't be trying to teach us stuff. You know, if we want to bring up Jesus, we'll bring up Jesus. And I was good with that. And, but they're good people, but they understand community, and this is one. Everybody is missing nowadays. I have respect for people at the liberal end of thinking and at the conservative end of thinking. I think there's one thing that's really not well understood is what family means to me. But in essence, all of us involved in this effort have spent our lives learning, teaching, assisting, and sacrificing in order to preserve and share these traditions. And I want to say, folks, if you had a job in the city for the last 10 or 20, 30 years, you'd have no idea what people like James and the others that went to jail and they will, you know. It's kind of hard to say, you know. James had to have his look, and this man was running his legs off. And but I know he's doing well. He's a busy guy, and but I know he sure could use our help in any way we can help him. And, but you know. As far as the healing traditions, some of us have done so consciously, but many have been prepared by a higher power through the things we've experienced to see and understand the wisdom and blessings of the American Native culture and what the whole world can receive from it with their own will. And I want to say, you know, as a person who, so what? I'm a born again Cherokee. What can I say? But you know what it means to be a Cherokee religiously. You know, it's whatever our neighbors around us believe. And you know, and if we claim to have heard the Creator tell us something, you know, we're okay with sharing. Like it or not, but you know, what can I say? Read your scriptures. But I'll tell you what, this country has no idea. I mean, the American public now has a lot of guts about this, but they really don't new world needs to connect with human spirituality. This world is in trouble. The culture of excess, extortion, and willingness to destroy that which is eternal for that which is temporary is leading us to destruction, not only of our economy and ecology, but our spiritual nature and growth. And by the way, folks, these are not my words. This is how James feels. But, you know, there is a better way, a truer way, a way of harmony, peace, and building rather than destruction or manipulative damage. Now, all societies live with dichotomy. And by the way, if you're listening, want to call in right now? Hey, we're 347-996-3318. And our guest was indisposed this evening. He just called me up last week. Susan, I think you remember from Tucson. His name's Chuck D. And, I'm not sure how we connected, maybe off of Facebook pages. Or we have several of them. And, I'd like everybody to reach out to Charles and watch for him online. But, all societies live with this dichotomy and this struggle, whether to embrace light or darkness. The American Native cultures have always been diverse, and there have been many tribes. While it's true that many of them at times chose war and violence, but they mostly lived peacefully unless they were threatened and put under extreme stress by an incursion from outside the tribe. Now, over millennia, tribes from all over this hemisphere have learned and passed down ways of healing, understanding, and living harmoniously and productively with themselves and others. Our world needs the wisdom they've gained. Many indigenous peoples do not want to share what they've learned because of the atrocities they have suffered at the hands of so-called civilized people who have invaded, co-opted, and destroyed the lands that sustain them. This is understandable. Here you will find those who wish to share and protect those understandings and natural medicines that can bless not only all the people of the world, but the world itself. We bring these things and offer them as a gift to all races and cultures in the hope that they can assist in healing the world and all our relations. Now, at the heart of Aquila, there are many who contribute to this effort, but there is one who is undeniably the person who has worked and the harvest and sacrificed the most along with his family to bring these things forward and share them with all peoples. And you can read the full story of James Warren from the reading from NativeAmericanChurches.org/about, about halfway down the page in the heart of Aquila. But in essence, as a young man, he was lost. And he wasn't even aware of his cultural heritage or his life mission. A series of events brought him to his culture and his destiny. And it's the same kind of thing I believe it happens. But since being blessed and set apart by tribal leaders and medicine people from a number of tribes, he has spent his life working to bring these blessings to all cultures. Now, in doing so, he is suffering incarceration, threats on his life, and economic deprivation. He, along with his family, have paid a dear price for standing up and championing the effort to bless all people and offer these ceremonies and medicines to those who need them, regardless of race, religion, or culture. His wife is the spirit and conscience of Aquila and is the only reason James has been able to continue in spite of the persecution and disruption they and their family have suffered through the years. Together, they've surrounded themselves with the people of like mind and heart with incredible talents and understandings. These people are working together, often as volunteers, to assist in the work of bringing these things forth and protecting those who chose this more peaceful, natural, and non-destructive way of healing lives, families, and relationships. Now, he asked about healing, throughout the world, people of like mind are establishing branches of the Aquila Native American Church. We call it MONAC for short. Each of these branches serves the people in their area by assisting them to have access to the plants, herbs, and ceremonies they need. lives. The specific sacraments and ceremonies offered to each branch were determined by the branch leaders depending on what's most needed. In the United States, these ceremonies and sacraments, plants and herbs, are protected by constitutional law for legal interference under the freedom of religion, even though many of these plants, peyote, cannabis, ayahuasca, etc., have been controlled or made illegal to the general public by those who desire the destruction of the indigenous culture and its blessings. These plants and herbs are uniformly not addictive and not harmful when used in the ceremony of wisdom. So we invite you to learn of what we're doing and why we're doing it. If we can help you in your life's struggle, let us know what we can do to help you. Whether or not you need our help, if you want to assist in our efforts, we gladly welcome donations of time, money, or services to NativeAmericanChurches.org. And what we do requires much of the people involved in time and money. The legal fees alone that are incurred and protecting the rights of our members from overzealous officials and legal authorities are substantial. Even though we have the rights to conduct ourselves by ceremony, and our ceremonies by virtue of the U.S. Constitution, defending those rights is a challenge. We appreciate your involvement and assistance with this effort in whatever ways bless you in our world. Indigenous spirituality has been practiced in North and South America before recorded history. The fundamental premise of all indigenous spirituality is to honor and respect Grandmother Earth, matriarchal, Grandfather Sky, patriarchal, and all of their descendants. So what we're saying is, you know, hey, we don't care if you come from matriarchal or patriarchal system. Hopefully, if you're talking with us, you can know a little bit about what that means. But the practicing of American Native Indigenous spirituality is understood off and on federally recognized Indian reservations as the Occupied Native American Church, which has been granted exclusive federal laws to recognize the spiritual ceremonies and protect and maintain access to their sacred ceremonial grounds. American Native spirituality has historically utilized Grandmother Earth's minerals and plans to commune with the spirit world to assist their healing and personal empowering ceremonies. Now, we are the only Native American church authorized to conduct indigenous American Native ceremonies within the U.S. Navy, which is the senior service world. The U.S. Navy constitutionally is supposed to be up running 24/7, 365. The Army usually stood down between the books. They keep the ring for it. But the Army, warned by President Eisenhower before he left office, said that this would become this huge complex. Us protecting the rest of the world, but, you know, eventually that becomes wrong. But anyway, we're the only Native American church validated by a unanimous decision of the state of Utah Supreme Court to admit people of any racial makeup around its sacred fathers. The Native American church that has received state of Utah governor accommodation awards for introducing and managing a successful American Native-based rehabilitation program State Department of Corrections. Native American Church, we are the church that's entered into a cultural exchange. We have a proclamation with the Wichita Nation, witnessed by the Mexican consulate. The Native American Church, we are the church that has received a ruling in the Hawaiian Federal Court, whereupon the United States government committed to rightness. Not to confiscate cannabis sacrament from the United States members, or to arrest any member of the Native American Church in Hawaii for transporting or utilizing cannabis in their sacrament. The court also gave permission for Agua Native American Church in Hawaii to sue the DEA EPA, and this is coming to the court, I'm understanding, in November, unless I heard wrong. But I'll bet you guys are tired of listening to me. I know how you do. Why don't we play something from our conference? You know, I really like Golden White Flip. And here's a song that I don't know where it came from. I'm sure it's a reference to the Cherokees that live along the Lambton Lakes in western Kentucky. But it's called Cherokee.
His father was a man who could never understand the shame on a red man's face. So they lived in the hills and they never came down but the street in the white man's place. Early in the spring when the snow had disappeared, they came down with a bag of skins. In the fall of the year of 1910, Daddy died by the road down in Cherokee Bend. Daddy didn't like what the white man said about the dirty little kid at his side. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal or the way that he lied. There was blood on the floor of the government store when the men took his daddy away. And the boy stayed by till he come to his end, and he run like the wind from Cherokee Bend. Now the mother was alone and the winter was at hand, and she prayed to her spirit kin. It was warm in the lodge in the Kentucky hills on the day when the boy came in. Then a blizzard came down and it covered up the door till they thought that it never would end. And he told her the tale of the terrible affair in the government store down in Cherokee Bend. Daddy didn't like what the white man said, but the dirty little kid at his side. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal or the way that he lied. For 3 long days and 3 long nights, they wept and they mourned and then she returned to her work and her weaving, and they tried to forget about Cherokee Bend. What he could, and they lived for a time that way. But the food ran low and the meat went bad, and she said to the boy one day, I'm leaving tonight and I never will return from the land of the spirit kin. You must take what you need and trade what you can for a red man's bread down in Cherokee Bend. It wasn't very long till she closed her eyes and he wrapped her in a robe. He found her a place on the side of the hill, and he buried her in the snow. Early in the spring, he was seen coming down with his load looking ragged and thin. Not a year had gone by when he stood once again in the government store down in Cherokee Bend. And the men sat around and they laughed and they clowned at the talk of a criminal's grave. And a man from the east didn't smile when he said, you're the son of that Indian scum. If you value your hide, then you better abide by the white man's rules here in Cherokee Bend. But Daddy didn't like what the white man said, but the dirty little kid at his side. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal or the way that he lied. Then he spit on the floor of the government store, and it served him to no good end. At the close of the day, they had taken him away to the white man's school down in Cherokee Bend. Been 21 years since the boy disappeared. Where he run to, nobody knows. They say he fell in with a man named Jim, and he rides in the rodeo. They say he returns all alone to a place hidden deep in the Kentucky. Kentucky clan. And it's pretty well known who hauled up the stone to the grave on the hill above Cherokee Pass. Daddy didn't like what the white man said, but the dirty little kid had decided. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal or the way that he lied. There was blood on the floor of the government store when the men took his daddy away. It was 1910 and they never had a friend when he died by the rope down in Cherokee Bay. It was 1910 and they never had a friend when he died by the rope down in Cherokee Bay.
Hey, we're at 347-996-338. If you're out there, dial the number or Skype in. We want to hear from you. Hey, listen, if you call and I tell you what, I'm going to give you a free pass to your lifetime online access to a wonderful 1,000-page worldwide prophecy encyclopedia. There's nothing else like that. I'm not going to mention the price because we don't sell. It's called the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy, and it's got a lot of really cool insights. It's if you're wondering what you're going to do, but I guess our we don't know what's going on in Tucson. Well, have you heard the news? It's like wow. People in Tucson are getting sideways at each other. Sounds serious. But, you know, everybody loved Floyd Red Crow. This guy, I mean, I first saw him in 1995. He was such a good singer. Custard died for your sins.
For the lies that were spoken, for the blood we have spilled, for the treaties that were broken, for the leaders you have still cast it down for your sin, cast it down for your sin. Now a new day must begin. To die for yourself, for the tribes you terminated, for the myth you keep alive, for the land you confiscated.
You tell them,
for a freedom you deprived.
Custer died.
the truth that you pollute for the life that you have cost. For the good you prostitute, and for all that we have lost.
Forget who he did it for. There's a lot of Indian elders that put up with a lot of BS through years just to make sure that what little is getting through is getting through. And, you know, these guys, these elders, you know, they weren't afraid of the people.
When
Oh, that sounded bad. I gotta say, I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's way more. I don't even know if you're hearing the same stuff I'm hearing, but oh my gosh, it sounds like music being put through a spaghetti maker. But anyway, hey, listen, we're at 347-996-3318. Would love to get a call from you if you had any questions about the church, or if you just want to talk to me, or if you want to share a message with the Spirit. And, one of my favorite actors is, of course, Wes Studi. Oh, my gosh. If you ever get around him, just tell him you're one of his Black and Tan. He loves Black and Tan. I can understand why. Never had met him, would love to. But, one of his portrayals, and so I can't remember which, was it 500 Nations? I don't know where it came off of, but this is his portrayal. Oh my gosh. We have got somebody on the line calling in. And hello, stranger. Hello, stranger.
Hey, Blair, how you doing?
Mark, everybody. Mark's gonna save me tonight. Oh, gosh. No, I just, it's cool. I was just having just a lot of fun kind of playing my navel here tonight. And if you got some time, we love to talk with you and join the party. I haven't talked in a long time.
Yeah, in a little while.
Yeah, and hey, listen, you got 10 or 15 minutes. If you got to go, just split, because... I'm winging a show for James Mooney tonight. We're in the process of developing Aqua Native American Radio and a lot of other stuff too. But anyway, we're in the cheering section, and if anybody else is out there, we'd love to hear you. So what have you been up to, Mark?
Finished putting together a part two on a DVD that I about the image of Guadalupe.
Oh yeah.
And it goes into certain things on this DVD. There's going to be some things disclosed about it. I don't think they're, as far as I know, they aren't currently known. I think there's probably some natives that are aware of it.
Yeah.
But no one else that I found. And it couples in the things that are on there. It's been known for a while, since about 1983-84, that the mantle on her telma had the stars in the position of the day on the winter solstice when the telma actually appeared. That's been known since about 1983-84. So it's the winter solstice of 1531. And it was a Father Mario and a astronomer friend of his, Dr. Eliscus or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce his name right. But there is actually a second star map on the telma, which, as far as I can tell, no one's documented and said they knew. And so this DVD might be the first time that's sort of publicly disclosed. I think it might be interesting to you and to the chief of the Cherokee Nation in Mexico, because it involves those same set of stars, at least partially. And it is actually on the telma in their exact position that they appear in the sky at that time of year. So it's actually more... actually probably definitive and, less debatable even than the star map they've already found. But I go back and I tie it into what's happened in the past.
Let me ask you a question. Would you like me to try to get to Chief Rogers on the line right now?
Well, if you want.
Yeah, would you like to? He might say, hey, what are you doing? And he might say, I'll call you back. But if he's not talking with a patient or something, and whenever he gets online, I can tell, because that's how he does his work, is by...
Sure, if you want to.
Is by, he telecommutes, and he does it, could. let's see if we can get him on the line. I'm hemming and hawing and trying to dial the phone and everything else.
Thank you for calling Dr. Rogers.
Oh, hey, that's
too bad. Currently unavailable.
Oh, listen,
so
this is cool.
Message. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
And you know what's so cool about this announcement that people missed was that, you know, if you're not a doctor, leave a message. If you're a doctor, you know, don't bother. You know, the chief's having a salad. But I'll tell you, everybody I wish could meet this guy. He is absolutely an unbelievable person to meet in person. I mean, this guy is 65 years old. Jeez, his upper body, you know, he'll famously tell you, I don't exercise. All right. You know, all he does is he takes, you know, a few medicines that are, you know, made from stuff you find in your kitchen a lot of times. And, like, he's got Linda and I on this concoction. It's acai berry juice, but you know he'll take a clove, a couple of cloves, and take a mortar and pestle and grind it down real fine, you know, and then he'll put that in there, and you know he'll say, you know, take two ounces of that, you know. I'll tell you what, that clove after a while that clove can get old, but it's good medicine because it's I think he says it's going to work on clearing the liver. And he's I guess he's busy and he's got a chuckle when he hears this, but anyway, he'll call me back on my cell. Nice try. But you know, he's just reopened his practice in Acapulco, and is darn near open in the island of Dominica, and this guy's going to gonna make a world-class run for healing cancer, and has healed a lot, and wishes he could heal everybody. And you know, if everybody would go to the herb doc first, who knows? You got to go by. That's right. You've got to go by your conscience in these matters. And dang it, you know, spirit says, hey, you know, go to the U.S. doc, get the surgery, get it, you know, and. But anyway, tell us some more about the. I've been prattling. Tell us some more, Mark. I think we lost Mark. Oops. Anyway, folks. All right, I guess we lost. And you know what? Yeah, I guess we've lost Mark. So. Listen, we're at 347-996-3318. If you'd like to call in. And I don't think I'll try to recall Mark here. Mark, I'm going to go ahead and disconnect in. Go ahead and try and call in. Anyway, if we can get Mark back on the line, he's... this guy is a one encyclopedia. He's got a tremendous memory for detail and really knows a lot about the Mayan calendar and a lot of really fascinating things. Here's something here in a second. Oops. Let's see. Are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I lost you for.
I think he asked me.
Well, I had to because for about 2 minutes I had nothing but dead air.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not. So, anyway, go ahead.
So, anyway, yeah, I was just finished up that DVD, and all kinds of stuff was unfolding in the month of February as I was working on it. And a lot of stuff I literally just pulled in stuff, little short news clips and. Just little blurbs, headlines, and stuck them in the DVD, and got to a point where I had to stop because there's so much stuff going on I wouldn't get done.
Oh, yeah.
we're seeing a lot of things.
Yeah, what do you think about the news? What sticks out at you? New
poem? Well, the one thing is what not any one thing in particular. It's the fact of what's driving all of them. And they're all connected together, and it actually has to do with what the Hopi said in their stories when they talk about the twins. And I think we're starting to see a lot of an escalation and increase in activity that if it continues, then it could get pretty serious.
Yeah, I'd say with Korea, you know, standing up like a little idiot, I mean, what is with that?
Well, I'm worried more about just really more about things that are more natural events.
Well, I'll tell you something. If anybody really wants to understand how I see what's going on right now, get a book from addall.com, ADDALLL. Oh, you know, you pay a few dollars for it. It's Rene Norbergen's, N-O-O-R-B-E-R-G-E-N. It's Nostradamus Predicts the End of the World. Well, the title is kind of a misnomer. It's actually a prediction. Although Norbergen interpreted it slightly differently, that it would be a conventional military takeover of Europe by Islam. But you got to read that book because it's amazing. You know, it said at one point Korea would get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, you know, and but you know, it's interesting to see what's going on the world stage and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Well, if certain events unfold, they may not be capable of fighting.
They may be
just unable to. You know, it won't even be possible. Not only that, but what most people aren't aware of, it is actually possible. You don't actually have to have a nuclear war. It can occur naturally.
That's right.
And it can be just as big of a problem. The only difference is it doesn't require anybody pushing buttons. And we could have just... If you took just about everything that everybody prophesied and you just lumped it all together, we could be looking at that kind of scenario possibly.
Yeah.
It could be everything in the kitchen sink coming at us.
Yeah.
I don't know time frame, though, but we're starting to see certain things occurring in our oceans, in our atmosphere, even things and that, like how many nearby asteroids have come by us in the last, you know, month or even 3 weeks. It's like one a week.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's kind of like back when I was given that prophecy in '98 about the 2005 would be real hot. And yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, it took me a while to figure out that it had something to do with the sun. And then Noah started including the sun and what's going on there in their weather broadcast. I suppose now they've got an asteroid broadcast also. And yeah, it's,
well,
it's freaky what happened the last time with one coming in from a completely opposite direction. Yeah, you really have to pay attention to what's going on in the sky. And, you know, what's being written on the face of the planet. And
Well, the other thing was, working on a DVD, there were a lot of things I knew to put on there, but there was one thing that I came across that I wasn't fully aware of, and that is a chart that showed the sun's magnetic field on the decline. And so it wouldn't be just Earth. It would also be the sun. And I don't know. I haven't gone and researched and found out what the strength in Gauss and all that is of the sun normally around us to see if it's the same or higher than the Earth's. But if it's in the ballpark of that and it's going down and Earth's is going down too, then we're even in more trouble. And that's probably the case. And there's all kinds of things that are going to get unleashed by that. And if it continues, we could be facing essentially almost one of the worst case scenarios of what the Hopi mentioned. And that would be very difficult. And also one of the things I found out, I knew a little bit about it, but I didn't know. And the old Mayan stuff, they literally talk about, as the world's cycle was changing, in one case they talked about bitumen or oil raining from the sky.
Bitumen, yeah.
Yeah. And we're seeing the scenario unfolding that could actually cause that to occur on Earth right now.
Hey, we got a caller, Mark. Hey, mm-hmm. caller, who do we got on the line here? Who's on the line?
Hi there. You talking to me?
Yeah.
Chaz, this is Chaz.
Hey, how you doing?
Chuck D.
Yeah, hey, Chuck, glad you joined us. We've got my friend Mark Borcherding on the line, too, and Chaz, do you go by Chaz or Chuck?
What's that?
Do you prefer Chaz or Chuck?
I think I'll go with Chaz.
Okay.
For now. Yep.
So I understand you are a newly minted member of...
I got to be a member around in October.
Oh, okay.
When I joined.
Yeah, what was your thought process as you went through? How'd you find out about it? You know,
I heard about it when I was at the Seattle Hemp Fest. I was living on my bicycle at the time, and I was traveling around on the West Coast for 18 months, living in the woods and getting in touch with stuff around 2011, 2012, that stuff. And I was getting connected with the Earth in a big way. And I basically heard about that, and I basically have felt walking in with my heart in the native ways for a long time already. I'm inspired by people like John Trudell who say we're all descendants of tribes. So that's where I'm coming from, basically. Indigenous people have always reached out and been a human being to me for all my life, pretty much, in different ways.
How would you, and don't let it slow you down, but Mark does a phenomenal job of connecting people with their Mayan birth date spirituality. Would you be interested in having Mark? Have you got time to do a reading for Chuck?
Sure.
Far out. Why not? Give my birth date then. Birthday and everything. June 26, 1965.
June 26th. 1965?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this kind of fits in with our conversation.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
In the Mayan calendar, on the traditional day count, you were born on a day called One Men, which begins a 13-day cycle. The Men glyph is also called Eagle.
Uh-huh.
And... we actually, I'm trying to think when we just moved past that recently. But anyway, so Eagle, I'm sure you're probably fairly aware of the symbolism of Eagle in the Native American culture, the way they view Eagle,
yeah,
right?
Sure, about Eagle feathers and
right,
watcher at some point.
You pretty much you pretty much know that, so I don't really have to explain it to you since you already know the symbolism. What you don't know is some of the things it's connected to. One of the things it's connected to is that particular cycle, the thing I was talking about with the Guadalupe Tilma down in Mexico appearing, that actually, those series of apparitions actually started on this same day, one man or one eagle. It literally began on that. So it's very interesting that we were just talking about that, and now your birth happens to actually be related to it.
Okay.
Kind of an interesting synchronicity. The other thing is that 13-day cycle ends on a day called 13 Manik, or 13 Hand, or 13 Deer. This particular symbol or glyph is associated with the one down there that they called the Great Healer or the Great Prophet. They document him, and it's a hand symbol, and they say he literally put his hand on people, healed him. I mean, even dead people. They'd bring dead people to him. And one of the things you could go look and do some research on is something they call the Hand Kabul, K-A-B-U-L.
Sure.
You might want to do a little bit of research to that. And what this is doing is it is access a counterbalance or a balance to your one eagle or one men day. So that's the reason I'm bringing it up. It might be something, these two things, the thing about Guadalupe and the image and apparition that occurred there, and actually the image that was left literally on Juan Diego's Tilma, has a lot of interesting scientific research that's been done on it, so we know something's very unusual about it. So that would be one thing to look at, and the other thing would be this thing about the hand Kabul, K-A-B-U-L.
Okay.
You might want to look into that and learn a little bit more about that. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, and I'm going to look up your, what was that again, your birth date?
June 26.
1965, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to look it up in another system. This one I'm going to look up, and it's going to operate on a couple of things. So it's going to have three components to it. Two, a forward and a backward flow of time, and then also the unity point or zero point between those two flows of time. So give us a little additional insight. On the forward one, it's talking about things. These things, I'm just going to throw out some words here that might relate, things that have to do with purpose, radiance, action, peace. That's actually coming up as a fairly significant thing. So things that have to do with purpose and action that relates to peace. That's probably been a fairly... if you're not already doing it, it's probably been a fairly important component of your life.
I've been doing it in a huge way. I went to more than cities with an intensive. I was at a powwow years ago in Oregon. And I kept going with this idea and basically interacting with people. They didn't have a frame of reference for it. And I passed out lots of info that was real... lots of informative stuff that's hard to find that would be powerful to independent community-oriented people or people who would like to be. And I went around the different 20 different cities doing that and other places besides cities, you know, reses to some extent and et cetera. And so, yeah, I definitely have a strong part in that way. That
one
idea.
Component that's coming with this, though, is in a nutshell, in one word, is purification.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. On the backwards flow, it has to do with unveiling things And these are things that this part of it's probably things that you've been seeing maybe getting stronger in your life anywhere from even up to 14 years ago to now, and probably continuing to get stronger. Things that had to do with unveiling things, looking into things, uncovering things, transformation of things, old things dying, new thing, and changing into something else. Truth has probably come up a lot in a big way.
Yeah.
Things that have to do with timelessness and mysticism. And also look out for jaguars showing up.
Well, jaguars are part of walking through fear, in my experience. I haven't met a jaguar, but I've met mountain lions and stuff. And it's just walking through the fear, I find. You know, I've dealt with the jaguar equivalent of humanity every once in a while. People who are dead set in a certain mindset and they can't think outside of it, they've got to basically unload the poison on me. And so I'm learning to say, hey, we're going to do a consensual ritual together. So you would like to smoke something with me, and we'll articulate you needing to let go of this stuff. But don't project it on me. You don't know me. Oh, so, yeah, I kind of feel that. I feel what you're saying.
Well, the aspect of being in a position of truth is probably an important component of that to discern. You know, are they walking in truth or not?
You know, there's so many different truths out there. I think it's important that people realize that there's so many different ways of seeing things and approaching things, and not just one or a reduced set that's basically the feel system gives us.
Well, that's there's kind of a fine line there between perspective and viewpoint and truth.
Sure, there's experiences that people have in their life.
Yeah.
There's also received opinion and received information, and then telling you how to think about things. There's those of us who have experiences that are different from those ways of seeing. The big one is figuring out how to bridge with somebody, realizing the value of bridging. You know, everybody's a champion of their feeling. You know, that's what I like about the Thunder Dance. I read a book by Tyagi Alfred. He's a Mohawk scholar who's really real and deep, speaking some real powerful things in his book, Wasase, which means Thunder Dance in Mohawk. Kaneinkahaka Mohawk, something like that exactly. I don't remember exactly the way it's fit, but yeah, the Thunder Dance is basically, you know, a dance where people are speaking their heart and they're doing it for a long time, like overnight, all night. And everybody's getting to really speak, and it's really done while drumming and dancing. You know? But I think when I hear you say that, that's what comes to my mind.
That makes sense. You know, and that probably may fit a little bit with this next part.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things come together. So we have kind of peace and will and stuff like that, purification on one side, and truth, jaguar, change, unveiling things and looking into things on the other side. And they come together in a zero point, which is kind of symbolizes a doorway, a bridge to get you through one world cycle into the next. And it's a Kaban glyph, and it has to deal with change as well, but thought and movement, especially movement, any kind of movement, actually. Movement and thought, but also movement, literally physical movement of the earth. And the two goes back to things like twins, doubles, polarity, things like that, and the poles as well. So that we were talking about earlier, too. So it's kind of interesting you call, and it's kind of fitting in here with actually what we were talking about earlier. So it's a lot about synchronization and thought. A lot about that. A little bit of things about prophecy and paying attention and staying aware and awake in it.
Yeah.
And challenges of things. They're kind of polar in nature. And so that and that is that is actually connecting back directly along the lines of peace as well. It has a it's sitting actually in a cycle, but that's the overall energy of that entire cycle. Mm-hmm. And so there's
I'd like
a lot.
I'd like to say that what defined peace for me is to is meaning decolonizing peace, not perpetuating statecraft in any form. You know, European centric, for example. You know, so you know that a lot of people think of peace. I mean, people who are thinking critically are thinking of peace, and they're thinking of we're just perpetuating the so-called peace of the war between the open war, the covert war between the open wars.
Well, yeah, this
my,
is not this is not a false peace. This
balance.
Is real.
All right, right on. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah, it's not that. It's not window dressing. It's the real thing. So I think that that's looks to me like it's connecting here twice on you. Both on the forward flow of time and actually going through a zero point into the next cycle, so that's probably going to be a continue to be a fairly important thing. And I would say most of the thing on the other side that has to do with transformation, change, digging into things, unveiling things, finding truth, probably a good percentage of that's going to be finding out truth about peace.
The truth of what?
Truth about peace.
Oh, right on, yeah, right on. Yeah, I think I feel that. Yeah. I've missed being around others, you know. I've been around quite a few people who are superficially oriented or they have a doctrine already that doesn't find resonance that much. And so I've been hoping, you know, I've been praying almost, basically praying to get connected with more, you know, indigenous consciousness oriented people. And you know, but so far I haven't really connected. I mean, some people on the street once in a while, I reach out and if it's really cold, I'll let them stay with me type thing. You know, I live on the street basically, so, you know, so I don't have heat, but I can still help somebody get out of the cold wind at least for a while. But yeah, I haven't really made much connection. I mean, I know a lot of different Native people around the different part of the country, but I feel like, you know, I'm a white man. Who the hell, why should they care about, you know, reach out to me? So, you know, but anyway, so I thought I had a, you know, I was suspicious of the idea of spending $200 to join up, you know, especially with all this, and, you know, you don't pay for, you know, they're saying it's a spiritual, and so I had a, you know, because I was seeking some kind of meaningful community that was deeper than the Eurocentric way there. There's other ones that really resonate with me. So, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, kind of hoping or wishing that I'm going to hook up with some people and maybe be in a sweat lodge and maybe use some of this stuff they're talking about. It would be powerful to do that. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'll, you know, maybe I'll hook up with some of them guys in Phoenix. I don't know.
Well, sometimes you never know which direction that you're going to be of service.
Yeah.
And it may not always be in the way you anticipate. Sometimes it actually comes to you in almost exactly the opposite direction. It may not even necessarily have a Native component. So you have to be a little bit open and say, okay, if you're going to be there to help and something else shows up, no, sometimes you have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I usually am that way. I just miss the great spirit of indigenous consciousness and, you know, some of the people who can see that the value of us. I guess yeah, it does make sense that you somebody who's conscious about these ways would be kind of isolated doing their own thing and doing what they can with that power instead of being connected with others who are all under siege in such a way, such a heavy way, so makes sense they would, you know, I don't know, I get awfully, sometimes I get really depressed, and I'm wondering, is it all worth trying to even stick it out, you know? So there's a side of me that has that trouble, but I find I get out back out in the mountains and the away from the Eurocentric human thing, and that really helps me out. So I'm fed out for about a week at least, out into the middle of nowhere again. I need to get out of the city, you know.
Well, where are you now?
I'm in the city of Tucson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you ever get up to Utah?
I haven't. Not. I've been up through Utah in the past, but I haven't gone up there to see James. That'd be powerful. He said he's retired, and I'm a little overwhelming for him too. You know, I was kind of, you know, I had this mix of skepticism. You know, is he just bilking me for the money? You know, I kind of pissed off, you know, but he's saying things are going to open up. And so, you know, I'm sitting out around, and I'm like, what does that mean? You know, so it could be just pipe to try to get money out of somebody. You know, so there's this mix of frustrated energy that I sent towards him, and also just dealing with the stuff I got to deal with. And it was a little overwhelming for him for a long time. He's asked me kind of to take it easy more. But you know, for me, this is a spiritual. You know, my spirituality is an intense situation. I'm living in an intense way. And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, I knew James back when, you know, back when he was working in the prison system. And, we just happened to, you know, the spirit just told us, you know, you need to move out of Salt Lake and you need to go up, you know, around Manti. And, wasn't no jobs there. And my wife and I were in a 35-foot fifth wheel. So, you know, there's a little town called Gunnison, and a few miles from Manti where all our friends lived. And everybody kind of commutes back and forth to San Pete County. So I ended up actually meeting him in the grocery store.
Oh,
you know,
wow. That
kind of thing, you know, and meeting him in a line. You know, here he is, he's got hair down to his Jesus, and, you know, and, you know, he just seemed like, a very humble guy, and, you know, he usually had some place to go, but hey, if you wanted to talk, he'd talk to you, you know, or he'd arrange a time, but I found him to be very real, you know, back then. A lot of people did, no question about James. It's just, it really is overwhelming. And I know coming from a background of being involved and looking at Native law and politics and that kind of stuff, what he accomplished, you know, no question about what he's accomplished. But, yeah, this whole thing about, you know, buying an AP card. You know the way James explained it to me? He says, look, he says, you know what? He says, this is the only time we are ever going to ask for a contribution from anybody in this church. And he just felt that the only people that should be excluded from that are people who are federally recognized Indians and, you know,
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, veterans, you know, $10. But,
you know, it makes sense to charge, of course, if you get serious people, that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never spent that much money to be involved with something of any sort, really.
Well, you know what?
But it was, I figured it was kind of worth it to find out if it's for real, you know?
Well, then
to kind of go through this.
You know, the last time I talked to him, he said, you know what? He said the people, people are you out there, you're on the road, you're exposed, you know, you can get, there's 48 different kinds of police that could, you know, ask you, you know, the hell are you? And, and they're going to want to search you. And, the first thing he's going to ask, you know, do you have any, you know, drugs or knives or whatever? Yes, I do, and I also have the permit for it, you know. And, and right there, he's put on notice, bang, that if he arrests you, you know, and just say, hey, you know, I'm not resisting arrest, but I want to warn you, officer, you know, we are going to prosecute you. And all you have to do to make sure you're within your jurisdiction is you need to call your supervisor. Then after that, you want to hook me up, fine. I just want to make sure you don't get problems.
I don't know if I talk that directly to a cop. My experience is to always say, you know, I'm remaining silent. I'm saying no to a search. You know, I'm going to prosecute unless you call your supervisor. Whoa.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty gutsy.
We are openly, doing this. We have the right to do this. We have three unanimous court decisions.
Yeah.
One, generally about, Native American religious freedom.
Yeah.
See, the way Indian law works is, there's always been about four different winds that have blown through it, but basically the government, thank heavens, has at least recently had, since the 70s, has had a very permissive, as if we needed their permission, attitude toward Native religious, and bringing their ceremonies back, and it's about time, the whole net of the situation is, we're cleared for peyote all over the country. If you get busted for weed, just be very nice, be very upfront and show them your card, and just say, hey,
you find yourself in jail, and then you're fighting it in court, basically.
Well,
I'm
sure there's some to do, but I bet a lot of cops would really appreciate not having to, bust people for smoking marijuana. So they had better things to do, whatever. So, but yeah, it's real, and we are so open about it. We openly declare to the post office that this is marijuana. We have a federal permit for it. It's going from here to our church, and yet the DEA thought, even though the courts had ruled, some poor schmuck of the DEA figured, they could, still fight the courts. The government is
federal, state.
It's whacked because the basis of Indian law was Cherokee versus Georgia, and that's where the head justice of the Supreme Court back in those days, Marbury versus Madison, Cherokee versus Georgia, George Marshall, the Senate of Pocahontas and the Cherokee. But Andrew Jackson just told him, well, hey, you enforce the law. We're going to remove the Indians. But at least the winds are kind of blowing our way nowadays. And who knows? I really wonder what their damn plan is myself. What on earth are they going to do? I've always feared that this New World Order, whatever it is that's coming at us, would use us, in part to establish their whatever. But,
the way I look at it is that we may not, laws are, in indigenous history, especially, I read a lot about Canada, and they don't really have any law. There's no rule of law, really. It's just basically whether the ruling power wants to use certain privileged people to have them think that there's a law. But when it comes down to it, as far as treaty on that, there's no law in Canada. And I think that's probably true of all these laws. They're really not, they're just valid for certain political reasons or whatever. I don't really totally understand it. But it's like, for me, it's a spiritual walk. And if I get busted for that, I would feel much more like I'm doing something to walk with indigenous consciousness and the native church like that. That to me is I'm willing to go into that insane reality, walking with the native people that way. So that's basically, I think you know, what's life worth if I'm going to cower around worrying about this and trying to be a peasant without ever doing anything that I feel is powerful? You know, marijuana helps me live in this world. Without it, I would have took myself out by now.
Yeah.
So it's very powerful for me in some ways, and I would like to be able to try that peyote and see if that can give a more powerful way of seeing things. It might help me see things that I've already seen. I don't know. But I would like to do that in a community of people and possibly have some insight that I don't have right now.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing. And it took me, I really didn't understand what James was doing for a few years, to be the truth. You know, I left Utah in 2007, and I knew all that stuff was going on with him. And I tried to get a hold of him several times and just couldn't. And finally, last year, got a hold of him. And I did have a little short story that I wrote up that was on there. Website, you know, back 7 years ago, and but yeah, James is—he's amazing. He is a force of nature. It's
right on. Yeah, those YouTube videos made a lot of sense. I mean, watching that him as a person better had made a difference. I was definitely, you know, being an ex-cop. I mean, that's kind of heavy, but there's a few ex-cops out there who have done something valuable. I'm reminded of Norma Jean Almodovar, who's ex-LAPD. She tried to up the realities of sexism in the LAPD, and they dragged her through the coals about that. And she still kept standing up and organized some defense groups and stuff. It's pretty cool. So there's all kinds of people, and I'm just, you know, I guess it's nice to know that I might get some kind of legal help if I have a challenge, and maybe if I persist, somehow can persist in the reality, I can maybe help, you know, carry a precedent here too in Arizona.
Well, you know, what's
seems like
happened?
A likely possibility.
I mean, we've already had we've had dismissals in Hawaii, dismissal in Utah, and for possession, and yeah,
sure.
You could but you know, the procedure is okay. You get busted, you know, don't resist, get bailed out. You know, do not plea bargain.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, eventually the charges will just be dropped, period.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when something that isn't widely broadcast by the media, you'd think, you know, that, you know, it's just not well known. Now, on the federal level, is where we have the most, naturally, is where we have the most influence. And that's because Creator just literally made them an offer they couldn't refuse. I swear to God, that's how it happened. And, there was some hanky-panky. And James received the blessing from the head of the Rosebud originally in the church.
That part of his website needs
to
be backed up again. I was asking him about that, and he didn't get to it, I guess. But
well,
that would be powerful if they had that backed up again tomorrow.
Yeah, we're reworking it.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the old website is at ista-onac.com. ista-onac.com, and it's the new website, you know, as a matter of fact, I was a couple of weeks ago, you know, I told James, yeah, we got to get some things fixed, and got a young fellow that's actually got control of the FTP, they're good guys. They'll get it fixed eventually, ista-onac.com.
Ista-onac on archive.org. I probably could find it, huh?
No, it is the website as it was before they went to this new one a few months ago.
So they have that Rosebud.
You think
the Rosebud might work then if I go to the Ista one?
Let me look right now and make sure. ISPA. ISTA-ONAC.org. Excuse me. And, okay. Well, I suppose it would take some time for me to drill down and find that. But, yeah, this is the website. This is exactly as it was.
All right, good. I'll have to look for it. I'd like to read that Rosebud lesson for sure.
Yeah, I told James. I said I really like the last one. I wish it would say, the architecture. So we're working on.
I'm just glad he's got some on video of some native people, together with him, and that's powerful. That's a good way to people that way.
There's a right in the middle, media and press. And you click on that up at the top, and you come down, click on photos, videos, news, and. It's just like it was.
It's good to speak with you. I think I'm going to get going. My minutes are getting low. So thanks so much. I'm glad you guys are there.
Appreciate you. We're just gonna go ahead and play the walking out the door.
All right.
Good having you on. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, Tim Egwich.
Hey, same back at you. And. Hey Mark, why don't we just go for the evening? That was we wanted to talk with him. He was the guest for the evening, but anything else going on? You want to just leave it at that?
No, that's fine. If you want to wrap it up,
yeah. You got any favorite music you think I might have?
Well. I know one that you do have.
I've got. Yeah, what is it?
Well, you probably know, don't you?
What?
Tin Soldier.
Oh, you like that one? Okay, that is a good one, isn't it? That's a good one. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I think it pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, that's my wife Linda. That's one of her favorite. Jeez, I really wish we could do something for Tom Laughlin, and he's getting old. Anyway, thanks everybody, and thanks Mark. I'm just gonna go ahead and hang up on you. We're taking Oklahoma Radio out right now with 110 Soldier by the Coven.
For the very rich.